Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
In the Hoosier Media Network studios.
The next generation in conservative talk radio. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier. So great to have you here for another weekend, man. We are set to ready to rock and roll. We have so much to get to, so much time, or so little time, so much to get to in such a small amount of time. That's why we cram 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag. So welcome into it. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation here at the Hoosier Media Network studios in Wichita, Kansas, broadcasting on multiple radio stations from coast to coast all over the place. Great to have you. You can find us on our social media, first and foremost, at Hoosier Reason, H-O-O-S-E-R Reason, on our handle. That's for all the platforms. That's Facebook and the Tweety and the TikTok and the Instagram and Getter and Truth Social and LinkedIn and I think that's it. Our Freedom Book, I think. I don't know. We have just about all of them. So you can find us all in there. Also, our website at HoosierReason.com has a link to all these sites as well. Become a Hoosier-holic. Sign up for all the great insights. Check out our podcast. You can watch the live stream of the video. You can chat with us. No matter what you do, it's always so wonderful to join us in any fashion or manner. There is a lot to talk about. Bottom of the hour, we have Rebecca Terrell. She is with The New American, as we'll talk about her investigation on the latest Supreme Court case that's being heard right now on the January Sixers. Are we treating them unfairly? We are now, what, 3 years since the January 6th event happened, multiple of them being arrested sporadically throughout the past 3 years, none of them being formally charged with anything. So we essentially have people sitting in jail without a formal charge against them. I could be wrong. I'm not a legal expert. I thought that was relatively illegal, and you're not allowed to do that in the nation. So what's the latest with that situation? We'll talk with Rebecca about that coming up in a little bit. We have some other issues I want to talk about, how we wrapped up the week, but there is kind of sort of some breaking news going on right now. So let's get to that before anything else.
What's trending today?
And again, this is a reminder of why it's so great to have, I don't know, a weekend live talk show to talk about some of these things as they happen. As according to Fox News, that the nation of Iran has officially launched some unmanned drones towards Israel. As they say that after the deadly attacks with Syria, that now they're looking at the potential attacks onto Israel. And early as of Saturday morning, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel had for weeks, quote, been preparing for the possibility of a direct attack from Iran. So now not only are we dealing with the Gaza Strip and having to battle Hamas with their ridiculousness, where, by the way, Israel has begun to pull back in some certain areas and they've continued to dominate Hamas in that, even though that the world population thinks that Israel's evil, because now that they're just killing mercilessly and trying to just slaughter Palestinians left and right, and how heartless these evil Jewish communities are, which obviously isn't the case. That's sarcasm for them, may not be aware of what's going on, but they are prepared because they've been waiting for Iran to do something ridiculous as well. So as of right now, nothing's happened yet, except for the unmanned drones that have officially been launched towards Israel. We'll see. We'll keep you apprised as the program continues on over the next few hours and let you know if anything else comes of this. But according to Fox News, CNBC also reporting this, that Iran sending these drones to the Israeli Defense Forces, escalating that longstanding tension between the two nations. The Iron Dome, however, fingers crossed, is still standing strong. And therefore, that is, I think, some good news. And Israel saying that they are prepared for this, and they have been for weeks in preparation, because they have been really since the conflict started. They've been ready for Jordan, and they've been ready for Iran and all these other Muslim nations that do not like Israel there, that has mentioned multiple times that they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that Israel is prepared to defend itself, not only to go on the defense, but also to go on the offense, according to the State of Israel and the IDF spokesperson, that they're not ready just to defend themselves with the Iron Dome. They're ready to go proactive if need to be as well. The question that's going to linger is, what will the response be from the Biden administration? There was a brief press conference on Friday where, when this was looming of this potentially happening, where Iran was apparently gearing itself up to do an assault and attack on Israel, that Joe Biden made the comment of a simple "don't" and then walked off the stage. So when asked about that, that was his only response, was "don't." And I think he was saying, "don't touch my ice cream behind the press conference room, because I really want my ice cream when this is all done." So that more than likely was what he was referring to when asked about this. But his one word in response to this as of Friday evening was "don't." So that being said, if they do attack, then what will the U.S. do to respond? Now, remember, Iran has been obviously an advocate for violence against us as well. And there are a lot of our military that is in the region that is prepared to respond if needed, if they're allowed to do so. So no other further information. We're not going to speculate any further, but that is information going on right now. And if any more does happen, then we will keep you posted on those. Other things, let's bring it back down to the domestic front here as well for a moment, because there's some interesting politics happening right now as we speak. We have a new immigration bill that's going to be presented from the House of Representatives with the support of Speaker Mike Johnson and from former President Donald Trump after having a joint press conference that they held on Friday afternoon.
It's your Week in Review.
And while we talk about what happened with Mike Johnson, which, by the way, very strategic, very well done. I have to applaud you, Mike Johnson and Donald Trump, for doing a joint press conference at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Because with the ongoing conflict between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Mike Johnson, it's caused a bit of a rift in the Republican Party. Now, that's not to say that we're just going to bag on MTG, because I'm a big fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I understand her position and what she's doing. I understand it. Logically, though, at the time of the political landscape that we're in, is it really the best time to do it unless this is the direction that we go with the unification of the party and a somewhat psychological warfare that we're seeing in order to try and bring the Republican Party together? I'll get to that in just a minute. But Donald Trump speaking on Friday, talking about one of the most important issues that he likes to focus on, which is immigration.
Our country is like a dumping ground, and we're going to have it stopped. And Biden should do it immediately. He should close the border immediately. He needs no legislation. He doesn't need this gentleman. He doesn't need anybody. He can do it. I did it without any legislation. I had the best border we've had in ever recorded history. He can close it immediately. If he would have left, we had stay in Mexico, remain in Mexico. We had catch and release in Mexico, not here. We had everything. It was perfect. It was a great situation we had. And now we have the worst ever. I don't believe in the history of the world there's been a border like this.
Now, I want you to think about something for just a moment. We have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Mike Johnson that have been squaring off, because Mike Johnson has done some stuff where I'm just kind of like, Now, overall, I still like Mike Johnson. I still think he's a fantastic conservative. I still think overall he's doing the best that he can as a speaker that has a one vote majority in his party, trying to rally as many people as possible to actually get something done, trying to win over maybe a couple of Democrats, which is a very difficult thing to do in a political world where you're not allowed to compromise and work with the other side. And predominantly, if that does happen, it's always Republicans compromising with Democrats, which makes it all the more difficult for someone like Mike Johnson to get anything done. So I respect the heck out of Mike Johnson. And I also understand Marjorie Taylor Greene and her conservative position. But imagine this for a second. If you, as Marjorie Taylor Greene, the radical right-wing nut job, conservative, former QAnon supporter, that's according to the media, by the way, former QAnon supporter, right-wing radical, that's a supporter of Donald Trump, goes after Mike Johnson. Then the number one supporter of Donald Trump, which is Marjorie Taylor Greene, you see Donald Trump coming in and supporting Mike Johnson with a joint press conference to talk about the number one issue that we're dealing with right now, which is immigration, and then saying that he supports Mike Johnson. Does that night psychologically, and again, this is a big win for Republicans if you were smart enough to think about this, if not, then it just happened coincidentally, but does that not psychologically make the average voter look like Donald Trump is a little bit more on the rational side? Right, middle of the road. Now, it's not going to win anybody over, but for the unity, the vision of the unity of the Republican Party, I'm talking Republicans alone solely right now for just a moment. You have the, and I say this in air quotes for our radio listeners, the radical Marjorie Taylor Greene fighting against Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson being a conservative, but Mike Johnson now looking like the quote-unquote middle of the road rational guy. He's a conservative, but he's the middle of the road rational guy compared to Marjorie Taylor Greene in the eyes of the mainstream media, the average voter, and the mainstream Republican. Marjorie Taylor Greene bad, Mike Johnson good. Donald Trump now partners up with Mike Johnson, making him look a little bit better, right? With Marjorie Taylor Greene still being considered the radical, who's now been isolated as she's being essentially the number one supporter of Donald Trump, or one of the biggest supporters of Donald Trump. Nothing against her, but psychologically, if you're going for trying to unite the party by trying to make Donald Trump and Mike Johnson look more center of the road going into general election, then I applaud you, my friends. Well done, because that is beautiful psychological warfare. If not, that's the way that we can make that happen based on the world of politics and the PR machine that we need to have on that side. So I think that's well done. Mike Johnson, by the way, speaking at this press conference, talking about these issues with illegals, and the biggest concern that we have now, not only with people flooding the border, but what this means going into election season.
Since 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, we call it the Motor Voter Law, allows people to sign up to vote when they get a driver's license. If an individual only asserts or simply states that they are a citizen, they don't have to prove it. They can register that person to vote in a federal election. And you see, states are currently prohibited, believe it or not, the states are prohibited from asking someone to prove that they're a citizen. The federal voter registration form just has a check a box. And if you do that, you're good. The states can't allow it. Well, we think that's a serious problem. And so what we're going to do is the House Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections. But there are some Democrats who don't want to do that. We believe that one of their designs, one of the reasons for this open border, which everybody asks all around the country, why would they do this? Why would they allow all this chaos? Why the violence? Because they want to turn these people into voters.
Now, we all know that's been the case for a while. And show of hands, how many tinfoil hat conspiracy thinking individuals across this nation that are listening to this program as we speak right now have been saying that for a good long time? The whole reason, the whole dynamic going all the way back to the Barack Obama, we need to fundamentally change the United States of America. How many of us have been saying we're concerned not only about mass illegal migrants flooding the border for crime and for the cartels and for whatever, but the reason Democrats allow it to happen and encourage it to happen is because they eventually want new voters. They're specifically placing them in certain regions of the nation, which is why it's super ironic when they get really angry when we just bus people to Chicago and we bus people to New York City, and then crime rates go there and be like, why are these people here? We don't know what to do with them. But yet they bus them to, I can name multiple different places, even in Kansas where I live, in the heart of the nation. Garden City, Kansas, a little bitty town in the western portion of the state, right near the Oklahoma and the Colorado border. Garden City, Kansas, a massive migration place, and we've literally seen buses of people just get dropped off right there as we speak. All the time. Little bitty town. And if you start infiltrating these small towns, little bit here, little there, little over here, little over there, then you start changing. And if they, you know, then you do the amnesty, and then you make them citizens, and then you get them to vote. And guess what? Now what was once a deep red state is now going to be a purple state or even a blue state. And we've seen this multiple times. Is that really what's happening? And not only that, that takes time. So now have Democrats, and I ask you the question as we go into the break, have Democrats actually found a way to fast track this process into getting many of the 8 million illegal migrants or more that have come over under the Biden administration's 3 years in office to actually get them to potentially vote going into this election as well? Is that a cause for concern? I don't know. We'll talk some more about that when we come back right here on the Weekend Edition for the Voice of Reason. That's where we're coming up. Stay here.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. It's America's political therapist. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. I will help therapy you on a weekly basis. So great to have you with us here on the Voice of Reason, radio, TV, live streaming, and podcasting. If you do want to chime into the conversation, here's how you do it. You can go to our social media and leave me a comment at Hoosier Reason. You can go to our website at HoosierReason.com. You can click on the live button at the top. You can listen to us live. You can watch us live with the video. You can also leave a comment in the chat room that we now have on our website's live feed. You can also watch us, by the way, hat tips to OpsLens on their website and their app, and their channel on Roku TV if you want to watch us there. And, of course, all of our great radio affiliates that we have around the nation with more coming on. You can also email me, HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com, and let me know your thoughts. So we have Mike Johnson, former President Donald Trump, having a joint press conference on Friday this week talking about the issue with illegal immigration and voting security in this nation and the agenda that so many have thought for a long time of Democrats trying to get illegal aliens to be able to vote to change the dynamic of the electoral process, to quote what Barack Obama said very eloquently, to fundamentally change the United States of America. This is the goal at the end of the day, and conspiracy theorists have talked about it for a very long time. Now, I was scrolling through my podcasts, my previous programs, because just recently, and I cannot remember who it was, and I cannot remember what day it was, because we talked to so many people, but we recently just talked to an individual that was concerned about this. They were the ones that actually created some of the software that, if you remember, and if you watch 2000 Mules, the documentary from Dinesh D'Souza, their company was the one that actually created some of the software. If you remember when he was sitting in the room and talking about the technology of how they could track some of the drop boxes and some of that stuff, they were the ones that did that. That was them. And we had them on the program, and they had mentioned that they had recently found a federal code, a federal law, that allows that if someone goes into a voting booth and they're an illegal alien, and they claim that they don't know that they're an illegal alien, but claim that they are a legal citizen, even though they're not, but they think that they are, they would have the right to vote on that election day. Now, that could be the loophole that's going to be used in this election for 2024. We're all aware of the games that they played in 2020, which is why we saw so many documentaries come out from 2000 Mules and Mike Lindell from MyPillow and all that stuff that came out. We're now aware, whether you believe that stuff or not, and some of it could be speculation, some of it could have a shred of evidence, some of it could be debunked, and some of it could be legitimate and valid. I'm not saying that all of it was complete truth. I am saying that weird things happened, and that regardless of whether that changed the election outcome or not, we should make sure that our elections, probably the most important thing on the face of this nation, are actually running smoothly and are accurate. That's all I'm saying. That we should check voter rolls, that we should make sure that the process is done right, that we should make sure the technology and the electronic voting machines are accurate. We should make sure those things are actually running smoothly. I don't know. That's kind of a wild thought that I have. And while we have it, they're talking about now the possibility of using some kind of loophole of illegals saying, well, I thought I was a legal resident, which would give them the right to vote. Because according to the Constitution, we now have a bill that the Republicans are putting up in the House saying that we need to make sure that everybody is a U.S. citizen in order to vote. That's essentially already in our Constitution, is it not? I mean, the Constitution's relatively vague on it, other than saying that you have the right to vote if you're a U.S. citizen and that shall not be infringed. But then that leaves it up to the states to decide how they verify. And that's really the only stipulation that states have to do, is that you verify that someone's a U.S. citizen. Because the only people that should be voting in a U.S. election should be U.S. citizens, not residents, not student visas, not work visas, nobody else but actual naturalized or born U.S. residents or citizens in the United States should be allowed to vote. That's a very simple, commonsensical thing to do. And then it's up to states to decide how they're going to actually validate that. And it's sad that we have to have a bill to pass to reinforce something that the federal Constitution actually already says. Blows my mind. Rebecca Taro coming on the program right around the corner. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Truth, reason,
and common sense.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Time to do it. I want to tell you about my friends over though at Patriot Mobile. Now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. As you know, today, nowadays, our votes just aren't enough. We can vote and we need to vote, but we got to take it a step further as well. And the nice thing is that now with the segregated economy that we have businesses, which it's sad that we have to do this in the first place, but it's nice that we have this option, that now we have businesses where you can actually just spend your normal money with your daily living, with your daily activities, the regular stuff that you're doing, that you can do that, and you can support businesses that actually have our same values, which is what you get with Patriot Mobile, as they not only share our values and beliefs, but they do something about it with themselves as well. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you and I actually care about, which is why I'm so excited and happy to partner with Patriot Mobile. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and get free activation with offer code REASON. You can go to the website at patriotmobile.com/reason, or you can go to my website at hoosierreason.com and find the link directly on there. Use the promo code REASON, get free activation. Also see all the other great perks that they have. They have the same wireless towers that you use with all your other stuff. So if you have a cell phone and you're using it right now, you wouldn't lose any of that service. They use all the same towers, all the same service. It's all great, but support a company that actually supports your same values that you support yourself as well. PatriotMobile.com. Use the promo code REASON for free activation. Proud partners with us here on The Voice of Reason. All right, Chad, do we have our guest with us here? Or are we still having some phone issues? Okay, so it sounds like we lost her. That's all right. We'll get her on the program momentarily. As we look at Mike Johnson, Donald Trump, that held their press conference on Friday, they are talking about now a voting bill that would ensure that illegal aliens don't vote in the United States. You would think that would be a common sense thing we wouldn't even need a bill on, but apparently we have to. Now, again, remember the Constitution makes it very clear that really the only thing that really addresses elections at the federal level would be the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, that's a kind of a big part of that, right? Naturalized or persons born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state within they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the U.S., nor shall any state deprived of any person life, liberty, and property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. There's a few different things there. That goes into the conversation that we have with Rebecca when we get her on shortly. That also talks about the right for us to be able to vote as long as you're born here or you're naturalized or subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, if you're an illegal alien coming across the border, what's the very first thing that happens when you cross that border? You're breaking the law. You're not here and under the jurisdiction thereof because, in fact, you're here in spite of the jurisdiction thereof and breaking immigration code. So that means that you should not have any right to vote. However, according to some, they say that that there may be some code, some loosey-goosey code, where if an illegal alien shows up to a voting booth and says, I think I'm here legally, and they vote, then they can actually cast a ballot and it would be actually counted, which is a concern. So Mike Johnson putting this bill together.
And so what we're going to do is introduce legislation to require that every single person who registers to vote in a federal election must prove that they're an American citizen first. They have to prove it. That will be a new part of the federal law and a very important one. Our bill will establish new safeguards. It'll put us on par, by the way, with virtually every other democracy around the world that also prohibits non-citizen voting. And this is a critical thing for us to do at a very critical time. Our bill also will require states to remove non-citizens from their existing voter rolls. That's a big problem, too. And it will provide access to databases from the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration to help the states administer this.
If you remember a few years back, I live in the state of Kansas. Our former Secretary of State, who's now our Attorney General in Kansas, and I know we're nationwide right now, but I like to use this because it was very influential at the federal level. There was the Election Integrity Commission that was put in place, and it lasted for about 6 months. And it was headed up by the Kansas Secretary of State, Chris Kobach, and a few others, former Vice President Mike Pence, and a whole committee of people. And the whole goal was the idea to try and validate voter rolls state by state at a federal level to make sure that there weren't any multiple registered voters in different states, that everything was hunky-dory, that we were trying to just validate voter rolls in each state. Now, the ACLU and different quote-unquote freedom groups ended up stopping this through lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. And after about 6 months of the Election Integrity Commission, they had to disband because they weren't getting anywhere with so many lawsuits piling up on them. Now, I'd like to remind you that the fight against the Election Integrity Commission was from a group of individuals who are massive radical left-wing socialists who like centralized power on everything. They want the they want the federal government to handle everything from education to environmentalism to elections to whatever. They're all about the federal government and their centralization of power, but they didn't want the federal government to just validate voter rolls to make sure the integrity of the elections were actually happening during the Trump administration between 2016 and 2020. I know that's a wild, far out thing, but that's what they did. So they killed it off. So now it's up to individual states to validate voter rolls. And because the Constitution doesn't necessarily give a way to validate someone as a U.S. citizen to vote, it just says you must be. Therefore, it's up to you as a state, the concept of federalism, to decide on how you're going to do this. Then that's why we have some states like Kansas, like Georgia, like some other ones that are very good at actually validating their voter rolls, or at least validating who you are when you go to vote. You show an ID, you give them your personal information, you check your status, whatever it is that you do in your own individual state, fill in the blank, to validate that you are who you are when you go to the voting booth. Then you have other states that are like, you got a driver's license. Totally cool. California, one of those states now that if you go and you try to update your driver's license at the DMV, then you automatically get rolled to registered to vote. The funny part is, California is now allowing illegal aliens to get driver's licenses. So what they're using to validate you in your registration to vote is now allowing illegals to actually get registered for that, which means by default, they're allowing both of them to get registered. So that, I mean, California's already kind of a lost cause when it comes to elections anyways. I don't say a lost cause. I always have optimism. There's a lot of conservatives in California. We love you and keep fighting. And we got a lot of listeners in California, so I don't want to write you off. But they make it easier and easier for them to break the law and be able to potentially vote in California as an illegal alien. And we're recognizing that with how they just don't follow the laws that are on the books, which is to validate to make sure you're a U.S. citizen. So now we have to have these types of bills.
Right now, the administration is encouraging illegals to go to their local welfare office to sign up for benefits. Well, guess what? When you go to a welfare office, they also ask you if you would like to register to vote. And so many people, we think, are going to do that. And you know what? The numbers are so high. There's so many millions of illegals in the country that if only 1 out of 100 voted, they would cast potentially hundreds of thousands of votes in the election. That could turn an election. This could be a tight election in our congressional races around the country. It could, if there are enough votes, affect the presidential election. And so that's why House Republicans are going to act. I'm going to announce to you today, here standing alongside President Trump, that we will do everything within our power to ensure that we do have free and fair elections in this country. If we don't have that in a constitutional republic, we have nothing. It's the basis of who we are as a nation, and we owe that to the American people.
The dirty, sleazy games by the Democrats on how they like to play this. By the way, with as we mentioned earlier, the conflict between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Speaker Mike Johnson, that continues to battle just a little bit, and that was asked during the press conference in question numero numero uno, because, well, of course, the media, they don't want to ask about the actual piece of legislation they're proposing and advocating for. They want to ask about everything else. They ask Donald Trump about Ukrainian funding, why the Republicans don't get on board for this, how evil Donald Trump is. I mean, they just ask everything under the sun. But question number one was, hey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Speaker Mike Johnson, not getting along. What's your stand on this, Mr. Former President?
We're getting along very well with the Speaker, and I get along very well with Marjorie. We have a Speaker. He was voted in, and it was a complicated process, and I think it's not an easy situation for any Speaker. I think he's doing a very good job. He's doing about as good as you're going to do, and I'm sure that Marjorie understands that. She's a very good friend of mine, and I know she has a lot of respect for the Speaker.
I said this earlier, but just imagine, if you will, the psychology behind this, because this could be in good favor for Donald Trump. Now, according to the polls, and there's a headline on Drudge, don't recommend you go check out Drudge Report much anymore because they're not the most conservative news source. But let's just, for an example, use them. There's a headline on there saying that Joe Biden's closing the gap on Donald Trump, which is funny because Donald Trump's up in 6 of the 7 swing states across the nation right now in the polls. And if he continues to widen that margin, then we hear other ones that Joe Biden's actually in the lead overall nationwide against Donald Trump, which I don't believe at all. But then we see this one that he's narrowing these gaps. And the reason that there's somehow some wild, wicked, independent, undecided voter in the middle of the road that doesn't know which way to choose between having a term of Donald Trump, a term of Joe Biden, the rhetoric from both sides and both candidates, and them still unsure who to actually vote for. I don't believe that things are going to be swinging that much during election time, but who knows? But the psychology behind this is brilliant. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, whether she did this intentionally or not, is very smart in calling out Mike Johnson and then Donald Trump partnering with Mike Johnson to make them look more middle of the road, with her looking, at least in the appearances, looking like she's on the fringe when she supports all of them. And Mike Johnson still being that conservative, supporting and working with former President Donald Trump going into election season, looking like there's some form of unity within the Republican Party. That's good news. Lots more coming up.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Where Hoosierholics gather every week. This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
All right, welcome back in, too. I got a couple minutes left here of hour number one of The Voice of Reason's weekend edition. Great to have you. So we're following right now the things breaking. Again, for whatever reason, Chad, have you noticed this week after week that whatever news is going to happen on the weekend happens during this program, which is amazing. So kudos to all the radio stations and affiliates that pick up this program and want to catch the news that's actually happening while it's happening, because most talk shows are best of or recorded programs that happen throughout the weekend, or stuff best ofs from the week prior, which a lot of stations air the show delayed, which is totally fine, but at least you're getting weekend news and weekend information that's happening as we speak, as opposed to not being able to talk about any of this until actually Monday when all the big hosts come back during the week. So, you know, that's a benefit of being live at this time. And for whatever reason, it always happens at the exact same 2-hour window that we're on the air. So let's go back and get some updates here.
What's trending today?
As we see the breaking news, the threat came out on Friday from the nation of Iran that they were going to start their assault onto the nation of Israel with Operation, what are they calling this now? Operation True Promise, wanting to eliminate Israel off the face of the earth. Israel obviously still going through their operation against the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians and Hamas, as they continue to be a thorn in everybody's side and causing some political rifts here in the United States, with many progressives in the Muslim community not happy with how the Biden administration is handling this one. But nonetheless, now things continue to escalate. Now, the fear is, and the rumor mill that everybody's floating, of course, the hysteria begins. Is this the beginning of World War III? Is this going to lead to the global conflict? I don't know. I'm hoping that we can stifle this out pretty quickly. And I would like to say that this is not going to be World War III. I don't get on hysteria trains. I really don't. Just because another nation is getting involved doesn't mean that every nation's going to get involved, although it could take more people to be involved to actually stifle this out. I don't know what's going to lead to this, but I don't like to spread hysteria. So don't try and put words in our mouth saying, oh, World War III is happening. Get ready. It's going to be the end. I don't think that's going to be the case. We may have to get more militarily involved. Others might get more militarily involved, but hopefully we can stamp this out pretty quickly. I don't know what this is going to lead to. All we know right now is that as of Saturday, early afternoon, Saturday morning, that there were non-personnel controlled drones, which according to Yahoo News said that each one of these drones carried near 44 pounds of explosives that were launched from the nation of Iran to the nation of Israel. Now, according to news.sky.com, they say that the Israeli government has been able to shoot down the majority of these projectiles have been shot down over the nations of Jordan and Syria. As Iran said that they wanted to retaliate, the reason they shot these drones off was they wanted to retaliate from an operation that happened on April 1st, where Israel attacked what they say was their consulate in the nation of Syria, killing seven of their individuals, two of them being high-ranking military officials, and this is the retaliation on that. Now, Israel has not confirmed nor denied those allegations on what happened there, so we don't actually know. We don't know any more details. I'm not going to try to speculate. I'm not going to say anything else. But this is a retaliation, and what they're calling is Operation True Promise against Israel. But Israeli media, as of this afternoon, and just a few minutes ago, reporting that many of these projectiles have been shot down. Remember, the Iron Dome is probably the strongest aerial defense in the entire world that's run by the Israeli government. They've been prepared for this. They said they've been ready for weeks now for this to happen. And now that this is happening, then they're going to shoot probably the majority of these things down before they even get to the nation of Israel. However, that being said, according to Yahoo News, they say that they are advocating for Israeli citizens to go into bunkers and to be hiding out for what could potentially happen. But two security sources had seen dozens of drones being spotted flying over Iran towards Israel and over Iraqi airspace, according to the Iranian Press TV, what they call, quote, extensive drone strikes that are being handled by the Revolutionary Guard. Things are going to escalate for a little bit. So thoughts and prayers, and let's hope this doesn't escalate any further, that obviously Israel was prepared for this, not only for the defense, but also said, according to Prime Minister Netanyahu, that he's also prepared for offensive action if needed as well, in which case our military here in the United States very well in the presence in the area and ready to take action if need be as well. That could lead to a pretty wild escalation. Doesn't mean that that's going to be World War III. Let's be a little bit smarter than that, but let's not spread some hysteria. We'll cover some more of this and keep our eyes on it as we continue into hour number two of the show. We'll have that. Plus, we'll talk with Lee Wamsgon. She's the CCO of Patriot Mobile. We'll talk with our partners about that coming up on Freedom here on the home front in the United States. Until then, hour number two of The Voice Reason coming up right around the corner. It's The Voice Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. Back after this.